to Luke chapter 7. Thank you, Janet, for that. Luke chapter 7, and beginning from verse 36, we'll read there. And if you found your place and you're able to stand, please do so in respect to God's word tonight, and just a chance to stretch your legs. Luke chapter 7, this is a part 2 message that we left off from a few months ago when we went to John Young Community Hall, titled, "For the Love of Christ Constraineth Us." And we spoke about how when we see God's love for us, when we see what God had done for us by considering the Creator and what He did on the cross, and not only what He did on the cross, but how He created us and given us a chance to experience life, when we consider the Creator in that, and He's given us an opportunity for family, friends, food, and above all, having a relationship with the Creator, who are we? That He is mindful of us. We spoke about how God, by His loving grace and His favor, wants a relationship with us. So we considered the Creator. And not only that, we considered Calvary, how after sheep gone astray, everyone's turned to his own way, He came down from heaven to redeem us and buy us back. And that was a wonderful thing to see God's love in that. And not only that, but to consider Christ, the Holy One, how God will continue to love us and wanting to use us in the ministry. Now think about that. It's a wonderful thing. And not only that, but just to reflect on the fact in this whole thing that God will use a sinner like me. And so we saw in this passage that this lady, which had no name but was called by others a sinner, this sinner showed a great response to His love. And Jesus recognized it. And we're going to speak about that in part 2 tonight, the response to God's love and how it looks like and how it should be in our lives by learning from this woman, a sinner. Note, the Bible says there in Luke chapter 7, beginning from verse 36, "And one of the Pharisees desired Him," which is Jesus, "that He would eat with him, and He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisee which had bidden Him saw it, and spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor who had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44, And he turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven." Note it now, "For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Heavenly Father, do ask and pray, Lord, that You'd have Your blessing upon Your word to our hearts. Help us and give us understanding of Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A grandmother once said to her granddaughter, "Hannah, tomorrow we're going to Sunday school. Hannah replied, I don't want to go to Sunday school. Her grandmother said, we need to go to Sunday school to learn about God's love. And little Hannah replied, says, I've learned enough about God's love. Well, her grandma replied, I've been going to church all my life and haven't learned enough. And Hannah said, well, maybe you weren't paying attention. And sometimes we think to ourselves that we hear God's love or the same sermon about what he's done for us. But let me say this to you tonight. We can never hear it enough. God's love should never, ever grow old to us. It should always be revived and fresh. And at times we hear it and we think about it and we meditate on it, but nothing happens. But I pray here tonight that God will get a hold of our hearts once again and to see how much he loved us in order for us to respond like this woman. It's amazing how many times Jesus Christ uses different people as illustration examples. And he did in this Simon's life. He basically used this woman as an example and just pointed out how much she loved the Lord Jesus Christ by what she did in responding to his love. And you say to yourself, well, why didn't Simon the Pharisee respond in such a way? Well, we spoke this in part ones because he did not really see himself to be a sinner. And you don't really see yourself for who you really are. You really can't see the Savior and his great love for what he has done for us. And the Pharisee's eyes and his religious duties blinded his eyes from seeing that he needed the Savior. And that's what religion does. It blinds you from seeing God's love for your life. And you say, why? Because you begin to say, oh, well, I'm better than that person. I'm better than her, that sinner. Everyone knows her reputation. Everyone knows her in the street that this lady's a sinner. And if he knew that she was a sinner, he'd be truly a prophet indeed. Because he's allowing her to touch him. But what Simon didn't realize is that he was a sinner just like her. And so when we consider Christ and when we see what God has done for us, and it's by the help of the Holy Spirit, then we're able to respond in such a way that God gives us this example of this lady, this sinner, how she responded. If you turn to 2 Corinthians, leave your finger there, but quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And beginning from verse 14, the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Paul the Apostle is saying this, the love of Christ compels me, it motivates me, it gets my attention, it grips me to the point where I'm surrendered to live for him. And anyone that is blood bought by Christ and sees his love for us, that if he didn't do what he did, you and I will be most miserable, never having the hope of heaven, be dead in our sin on a eternity of separation from God. But God, in his mercy, took our place on that cross. And that's what Paul the Apostle said. That's what compelled him. That's what constrained him to live the life that he lived. And that's what compelled this woman to live the life that she lived. And it began with this great sacrificial surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to note there in your Bibles, in verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of anointment. And he goes on to say in verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with the anointment. Now I want you to hold your finger there again and go to Mark chapter 14. I want you to see what this gift of anointment would have cost this sinner. And in this case, which we'll read in this passage, a different person, same gift, same sacrifice, same showing a surrender to the Lord by this gift that she offered to him. In Mark 14, beginning from verse 3, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard with precious, very, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. So we know it's a different time over here as well. And being at Simon the leper's house, not the Simon the Pharisee. And being, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold, note it now, for then 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And 300 pence, perhaps they would have, in our value today, perhaps would have been roundabout, not exactly, 1 year's wage. A 1 year wage. So think about this precious ointment that this lady had, that had broken it on his head, and in another account, had put this ointment on his feet. Now notice the response there in verse 5, in verse 5, and we know that Judas stirred up the other disciples to have indignation. Yeah, why didn't you sell it and give it to the poor? But notice what Jesus said in verse 6, and Jesus said, what did he say? Let her alone. Let her alone. By the way, if anyone wants to show extravagancy, full surrender, this sacrifice, this living sacrifice, let him alone. Oh, they're too much. Just let him alone. They want to surrender to the Lord. They want to do things for the Lord in a very extravagant way that God is working in their life, and out of love they want to respond. Let them alone. Let them alone. Always hear that sometimes when I think to myself, when someone comes in my way and I think, wow, this person has given their life, and isn't that a bit too much? Hang on a minute. Who are you to say isn't that a bit too much? This person's responding to God's love, and this is how they want to serve the Lord. Let them alone. Let him alone. And in this case, is let her alone. They thought this money could have been given to the poor. And likewise, I don't think Simon the Pharisee saw the sacrifice which she was giving, because he was seeing what kind of lady she was. A sinner. How dare she sacrifice to the Lord? I mean, she's defiled. She's a sinner. She's a saved sinner. And when you're a saved sinner, when you see God's love for you, it should be, by the Spirit of God, like a reflect straight away, saying, Lord, I want to live for you. This is how she started out, this full surrender, by sacrificing this great, precious ointment, this gift that she had given to the Lord. And the Bible does say in Romans chapter 12, beginning from verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, note it now, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, note it, which is our reasonable service. The love of Christ constrains us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. And that he died for the all, that they, note it now please, which live, they that are saved, they that have been bloodbought, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. See, this repetitive theme of surrendering all to God and everything about ourselves is common in the Christian life. It happened in the book of Acts. It happened in the Gospels with the individuals. And also happened with Paul the Apostle as he testified. And that's what should happen in our lives as Christians. God doesn't want bits and pieces of us. He wants all of us. And it starts off by a sacrificial service. I know what God will lay upon your heart, but I know it starts by saying, Lord, I want to start living for you. I don't want to live for myself. Let me tell you something. Living in the Christian life and surrendering to the service of the Lord is not just holding a ministry in the local church. It's more than that. It's not just coming to church on a Sunday. It's more than that. Living for Christ is 7 days a week, 24/7 being controlled by the Spirit of God, and every day God dealing with us about certain matters. It's a sacrificial living sacrifice service. I no longer live for myself the way I used to. I live for Him. I live for His glory. Sometimes we can give a certain way, or we can have a ministry and say, well, I'm doing this for the Lord. I can live the 5 days a week for myself. It doesn't work that way. Every decision that He's taking in our lives, whether our small decisions, big decisions in our lives, need to be put before the Lord and say, Lord, are You pleased with this? This is what I'm going to do. Are You pleased with that? This is where I want to go. Are You pleased with that? It's a living sacrifice. I'm no longer myself. We spoke about that 2 weeks ago. That you and I have been bought with a price. We are no longer ourselves. We live for Him. As a matter of fact, we are pilgrims passing through. This is not our home. Our heavenly home is in heaven. And while we're here on earth, we live, note it, for Him. And you say, what's going to help us live for Him? Consider Christ and what He's done for us. She realized that without Christ, she'll be dead. She'll have no life at all. She'll never have the hope of glory. She'll never have that hope of glory in her to give her the assurance that she is going to be with Him evermore. It's a sacrificial gift. The disciples had come to Jesus in the passage, and we won't turn there for the sake of time, but they've come to Jesus, and one disciple said, Lord, I will follow You whithersoever Thou goest. And how did Jesus Christ respond? Foxes have holes. The birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay His head. It's almost like He says, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Because behind this is going to be sacrifice. You say, what do you mean? The Lord wants me not to have a pillow? Maybe God, for you, one day will bring you to a point where, yeah, you might not have a pillow. Why? Because God is leading you in a way where you're in the will of God. And I heard a testimony just a couple of days ago that Angelo Gusis, a man that's been surrendered to the Lord, and he lost his wife because of it. And he's just not being hindered now. And God called him to Greece, and they're on a mission work over there. This being caught up by false accusations, and the police were onto them. Three drunk men basically said that Angelo Gusis was causing trouble. And he was basically threatening them, and he was assaulting them. And we found out later on that the Orthodox priest has set this up to put him in prison. And he did. He was in prison. They had mistreated him in a very bad way. And you say, well, how'd this man end up in prison with no pillow? Well, he sacrificed his life somewhere about 10 years ago. And God's been dealing with him. Is that going to happen to you? It may not. But we know it's a sacrifice that God will basically have us to present our bodies, that God, whatever You want, You do. You want to change the course of my life? This is where I'm going. You own whatever, everything I have. I just want to let you know, I don't want to be set in my ways. The best gift that we can give out the Lord Jesus Christ is our allegiance and our life and our heart, and saying, Lord, my will, I give back to You. You do what You want, when You want, how You want. I know you don't have a place to sleep sometimes, and I'm willing, if that happens to me because of the gospel's sake, so let it be. This is not my home. My home is in heaven. For me to live is Christ. I want to live for You. I want to move for You. I want to talk for You. I want to work for You. I want to do everything for Your glory, and God help me do that. So how are we present our bodies a living sacrifice when you see what He went through on that cross? The kind of sacrifice the Lord Jesus demonstrated. God doesn't want our leftovers of time, treasures, and talents. God doesn't want what we could actually present. He wants to live in us and through us as a surrendered vessel, and He will direct us in whatever He wants us to do. It's a wonderful thing. And we can look back and say, this is the work of God. This is what God had done in my life. It's a wonderful thing. Are you willing here tonight to say, God, this is my life. If You want to change it, You go ahead. And you know, anything in my life that there's anything that's hindering me from being a living sacrifice, please help me get rid of it. I want to be a living sacrifice. I want to live for you. And this lady began that by this extravagant sacrifice that she had shown the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see also that she didn't only come before the Lord Jesus Christ to offer this great sacrifice, but also she came and she worshipped him. Note it in verse 38. Would you see that there in verse 38? Stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and anointed them with ointment. Notice that there. With tears, she fell at his feet. In other words, there was a worship there. And it wasn't only an extravagant sacrifice that she had given, but through that it was a sacred worship. To fall down at someone's feet is to bow, or to give homage, or to make a stoop, to fall down. And she was bowing down to him, to God the Creator. The Bible says in Psalm 95, and beginning from verse 6, as we read tonight, today, O come, let us worship and bow down, and let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. At times there are times where we should bow before the Lord. And perhaps at closing times of sermons, and God's touching your heart, and you want to bow before the Lord and surrender and sacrifice, no matter what and where God's touched an area of your life, do it. Man, this lady was publicly worshipping the Lord. Publicly. She didn't care who was around her. So many times we wonder if someone's looking at us, if God's dealing with my life, I'm afraid to come and worship the Lord. You go ahead, share a testimony. You go ahead. You want to pray before the Lord, stand up and pour out your heart, kneel down and pour out your heart. You go ahead and do that. It can be done in a very manner which is in your home. I really believe closet time should be the best time that we get down on our face. And that's what it was. She got down to his feet, you know, to the point where she was like this. That's so sacred worship. I mean, the feet, you know it. It's part of the body that's not that, you know, approachable. You know, they got all sort of different powders these days to get rid of the problem with the feet. But hey, at the end of the day, she didn't really care. And I guarantee you anyway, the Lord Jesus Christ's feet would be perfect. Walking in those sandals with the sand, I don't think they would have had the same problem we do today. But what I'm trying to say is this. She went down to her face, to his feet, in front of people. She didn't care. Why? Because she knew how much she was forgiven. She knew how much he loved her. We went out Friday night and went out soul winning. The first time I remember going out, I wonder if someone would see me from my friends. And I was more worried if someone saw me. I was more just ashamed if someone saw me. I wasn't really thinking about the Lord in the way. I was still just foreign to the fact of going out and sowing seed and making a difference for the glory of God. But man, I was just troubled with the fact if someone saw me, you know? What if someone saw me? What were we going to tell them? And the dear brother shared that with me. And sometimes God puts you in a place that someone does see you. Someone did see me, by the way. Many people saw me. And I believe God was helping me not be ashamed. Over the years, God was communicating to my heart. And even just recently, does it still happen? Every now and then it does. Charlie, I went on the cross for you naked, stripped of his raiment. This is what I believe from the scriptures. God ministers to me, God speaks to me. I wasn't ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of me. Worship. Worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness. She was worshipping the Lord. Sacred worship. Fell at his feet. And not only that, praised his name. The Bible says in Psalm 8 and verse 9, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 119 verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Someone once said, God wants worshippers before workers. Indeed, the only acceptable worker are those who have learnt the art of worship. The very stones would praise him if the need arose, and 1,000 legion of angels would leap to do his will. Before having a desire to serve in the ministry, which is a good desire, let's have a desire to worship the Lord. Let that be our desire. To come before him and be earnest about worshiping him and bowing down to him and praising him and respecting him, for he's worthy. Psalm 89 verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are round about him. He desires to be worshipped. He never rebuked her. He never said, get up. That just proves to me and you tonight from the scriptures that he was God. He wasn't just a prophet. He accepted the worship from this lady, and she was at his feet worshipping him. Be more earnest with worshipping the Lord. Be more earnest with bowing down and giving him praise. Be more earnest when you come to the house of God to be in those pews and sing to the Lord, offering praise and worship. Be more earnest in doing that, more than your service. Service is good. Wanting to take place in ministry is good. But if you don't have a heart of worship and you can't worship the Lord, why do you want to serve? If you don't have time to bow down to his feet, if you don't have time to be a living sacrifice 7 days a week in all that you do and all that you think, why do you want to serve? And lastly, I want you to see the extravagant and extraordinary affection that she had in verse 45. Note it now. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet. You can really, truly see where her heart was, can't you? You can really, truly see who had her heart. The Bible says we cannot serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, or you despise the one and you cling to the other. You cannot serve God or mammon. You can see who had her heart. Turn quickly to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. The Bible says this: If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Is it plural? No. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. God wants us to have one affection, and that's for the things of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of us if we focus on the things, if we have a desire on the things that please him. You say, well, things above, what are they? Heavenly things. And we know God's will, for this came from heaven, the word of God, and we know what pleases God if we just dig into it. Souls! That's what pleases God. Souls! Have a heart for what God has a heart for. Be more earnest in having a ministry to witness and go out and reach souls. So what's this all about? That is a heavenly things. He came to seek and save that which was lost. The affection, this desire, it's an exercise of mind. It's something that I think on. Can I ask you, what have you been thinking in the last couple of weeks? Who have you been thinking about? What's been occupying your mind? Who's been taking the room there? You need to say, well, whatever this been meditating on, I want to meditate upon God and the things of God and what pleases him. I don't want to think about the things that please me. And that's where it comes down to. That's where the war is against. It's pleasing God or pleasing self. It's the Savior or self. And if it's the Savior, then it's souls or self. We think about revival, what true revival is all about. Sometimes people say, well, revival is when we need to pray. That's fine. We pray for revival. And we want God to work and Spirit to change lives, and we'll be serious about the things of God. But how do you know when revival's come in my life? When I'm consumed and think about Him and what pleases Him. Man, when I'm so zealous about what pleases God. Man, if Christians today thought about the things of God in a way this world treats sports, we'd have revival. We'd have revival. No doubt about that. Would have a revival. I mean, you say, how do I know revival's come to my heart? How do I know that I'm always thinking about the things of God and I want God through His Spirit to be fully in control with everything that I do and everywhere I go? How do I know it's come to my heart? Well, you can sit in church and you don't have to worry about time, and you want more and you don't want to leave. When you go to church, And you want to go and you want to hear from the Lord and you want to see the saints and you want to worship the Lord, you know revival's come to your heart. It's the same thing is true with the worldly people. They can't wait to go to the game. And when it goes like 20-20, overtime, more, they're happy to stay 2.5 hours there. When you can sit through a movie for 2.5 hours and not complain. How do I know revival's come in my life when the things of God is not a burdensome to me, but they're a pleasure to do? I want to do them. Revival in my life comes when I seek the Lord and say, God, like this woman, I want to give every part of me to you. How does that happen? How do we respond? See what He's done for us. If you miss what Jesus did on the cross, and you don't reminisce, and you don't think, and you don't praise Him, and you don't worship Him, you're going to sooner or later fizzle out. When you look at your service and you think to yourself, oh, I've done enough this week for the Lord. I've done enough and now I can have these days for me. That's a scale. We say sometimes our good outweighs our bad for salvation. Well, for a Christian, you can't scale it. It's the same thing for service. You say, well then how does it work? By faith, through grace. Lord, I want to surrender by faith to you for service, every part of me. I don't want to only serve here or there, I want to serve every day how you want me to. You say, well, what about my family? Well, I guarantee you, when you sit down at night and you sing some songs and you open the book, that's serving the Lord, that's having things around God, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing. Well, it's extravagant affection. Can you hear it? You say, hear what? Can you hear it, Simon? Can you hear it? Hear what? Wow. Just stop and hear it. Just think that you were there. She didn't stop kissing his feet from the time she bent over to his feet. Wow. What affection. What a great adoration to the Lord she bestowed. She was in love with him. You say, how was she in love with him? Because she knew how much he loved her. And when you realize how much God loves you, there's no price too great. You say, Lord, whatever you want. Can you hear it? Wow. She convicts me. This sinner, a no name, this adoration that she had for the Lord really convicts my soul. Turn quickly with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Beginning from verse 29, the Bible says there in Mark chapter 12, and Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribes said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more, note it please, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions. Wow. See, when you see Christ for who he is and what he's done, it's a reflection to come and say, Lord, thank you so much. That's what happens the day you get saved. And the Bible declares the day you get saved, the day that you live is the day you start living for who? Christ. And should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. This lady was showing this extravagant affection to the Lord Jesus Christ because she knew that this love, this amazing love, was great. It constrained her. It compelled her to surrender. Note it in John 15 verse 13, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And he says this, Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. Note it now. But the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. He says, But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made them known to you. If you just want to serve, you get a command and you go ahead and do it. But serving the Lord is more than just that. It's saying, God, you have my life. I want to walk with you wherever you want me to go. And he says, I'm not going to hide anything from you. A servant? Yeah, there's some things hidden. And you're limited in what God wants to do in your life. If that's all you want is just a serving place. That's good. But I don't want him only to be my master and serve him. But I want him to be my Lord. I want to obey him. And if I do, he's my friend. Abraham was the greatest example in that area. And God said, should I hide that thing I do from Abraham? Of course not. Why? Because he was his friend. He's going to tell him, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And then he came along talking. Lord, if this many, would you destroy it? No, I won't. Well, what about this many? No, I won't. What about this many? I mean, imagine talking like that to God. You say, can I? Yeah. If you make him his your Lord and you surrender your life, he's your friend. You walk side by side. You can go home. You can go home and you can sit down. And it's not disrespectful. And you can say, Lord, this is what I did today. What do you think about it? And you can just talk to him. Wow. Wow. I don't just have to bow down to the point where I'm just at your service and I'm just going to do a limited thing for you. No, no, no. I'm your friend. I want to do what you want me to do in all areas of my life. I want to go. I want to be. Whatever. You got all of me. And I could talk to him that way. And he's going to reveal some things to me. That is wonderful. If he knew what kind of woman this woman is, if honestly, if he thought If he's truly a prophet of God, I mean, this sinner, he won't let her touch him. Absolutely. God, sinner touching him. Wow. And for God to allow us to come and talk to him and touch him and serve him and all that that comes with it. Thank you, Lord. Simon and his religious duties, limited. Did he have a heart and love for God? No. Didn't understand what it was. Religious. What did Simon want? Position. Hey, we're going to call Jesus over. Jesus, one of the prophets, is going to come and eat at my house. Did you know why he came? He came to save that sinner. And you, Simon. Being in the Christian life is just not about having a position. It's more than that. It's walking with the Lord and having a true relationship with him. You say, Lord, I want that. Full surrender to him. So, Lord, I surrender to you. Remember the time he had an account with Simon? Simon said, I'm going to go all the way. Everyone leave you, I won't. I'm going to go all the way with you. Honorable. Great desire. And what happened? He denied him. He fell flat on his face. And then later on, Jesus says, Simon, you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Then if you love me, go do what I've called you to do. Feed my lambs. That's what I want you to do. Sacrifice. Worship. If you love me, you obey me. You love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. You love me? Lord, you know all things. Then if you love me, I want you to give your body a living sacrifice. Who's the lambs? Who's the sheep? Others. Others. You'll find out that when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, it's always he will get you to serve others. Whether it's a non-believer, where you make time to go get the gospel out somehow, and you make time for that, or when it's the saints, and you serve the saints in a very pure way. Not for self. For them. For them. You love me, Peter? You know I love you. Then you go ahead and you go do what I called you to do. By the way, that one of those loves that he said, I love you, was a fellow love. Friend love. He loved him as a friend. Sure, we know the agape love, that God wants us to love him, unconditional, no strings attached. But I don't know about you. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have God as your friend. Father, Master, Lord, and a friend. Touch him. Talk to him. How? See his love for you and respond. Say, Lord, I don't want to give you part of my life in service. I want to give you all of my life. You deserve it. I want to live for you. For me to live is Christ. If I live, I don't henceforth live unto myself. I want to live for you. I want to set my affections on things above, not here on the earth. These are going to fade out. Lord, everything about me, I surrender to you. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment to do that if you haven't done already. Maybe there's something in your life that you haven't given to the Lord. You say, I understand it's not just sections of my life, it's all of my life. I want God to be in control with all of my life. So, Brother Charlie, this is the day, this is the time. I want to do it. I've been wrestling with this. I don't want to give time, my leftover time to God. I want to make time for him in certain areas. I know I've been neglecting these. I don't know what God spoke to you about that you need to put on the altar that's hindering you and not giving you your all. I want you to think about that. You say, Lord, you know my heart. You know I love you. And you might say, well, okay, whatever I'm pointing to you right now, you know what to do. I'm going to give you a moment before the Lord to take time to do that. You may be with us today and you're not sure that heaven is your home. You say, Brother Charlie, I want to be sure. I want to know for sure that if I die, I'd be with the Lord. I want to have that confidence. I want to be able to say to die is gain. I want to be able to say that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I can't say that right now. I'm not sure about my salvation. Please pray for me. Anyone like that, slip up your hand and then slip it back down. I want to pray for you. So I'm not sure, but tonight I want to be sure. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Amen. Amen. See that hand. Anyone else? So I'm not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven, but I want to be sure tonight. I want to make sure. Anyone like that? Anyone else?